Shin Mem Vav. A lot of these simanim are not necessarily halacha l'masa, because the world has changed. Sometimes it's the world has changed in the sense that metzias doesn't exist, or these practices don't exist, many of which are rishus. So, for example, siman shin mem vav mishayabala ima tzolov be'ira, ush ishto ima tzluva be'ira, ove v'ima v'adayin lo chala habasar, kulo lo yishe v'socho, alim kenas gedola kan tuchya, like Antioch, so the concern apparently is that when they see your relative hanging, and they know you're in the city, they start to talk about it more. Oh, did you see so and so? Now it's interesting, machlokas here. Pashtus, as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, this only applies to a spouse or to a parent. But the Shach, I believe, says. The Shach just says it could be Achiv Shoploni. He just writes it Derech Agav. It's not even like he's making a point. Lafukir from the Shulchan Aruch. So either way, it doesn't really apply anymore, as the Shach himself quotes from the Bach, and the Aruch HaShulchan mentions as well, because they don't leave the Bach says that, the Bach says in our kingdoms they crucified it outside of the city, and the Aruch HaShulchan says they don't leave bodies unburied anymore.
The crucifixion is still going on.
Apparently so.
There's no reason.
It was that. a choice method of execution.
There's no reason.
If we reinstated it in this country, it would be rather interesting. Then they might think that lethal injection and firing squad were humane forms of the death penalty. Yes.
And there's no reason Misvara to distinguish between crucifixion and hanging.
It's true. Doesn't matter. It's a question of whether the body is.
Right. Exactly. So they were certainly still practicing hangings up until, I think, 20 years ago in Utah.
But except for when they practiced hangings recently, they didn't leave the body sitting there. They hung them and buried them.
For example, famously, Oliver Cromwell's head was displayed 30 years after he was executed.
That was almost 400 years ago.
I agree.
And once upon a time, they used to do all sorts of interesting things. Okay, it feels like it should be the subject of a Monty Python movie or something. So that's the Shin Mem Vav is not, it doesn't exist bisman hazeh. Shalola or al meso shloshin yom lefnei regel, simen shin mem zayim. This is actually relevant. This is an interesting question. It would appear to me that one should not mark a shloshim that occurs within 30 days before the regel. In other words, if the patira was more than 30 days before the regel, and then Shloshim comes, you should not have Hespedim at that particular point. The Shulchan Aruch writes, it's a Mishnah, a Gemara Moed Katan, actually, I believe in the first parak, not in the third parak. Mishameis lo meis lefnei Shloshim yom asmuchem l'rego, lo yispedenu mishi yikansu Shloshim yom asmuchem l'rego. Afilu yesh lo hesped below zeh, kegon shameis lo meis b'soch Shloshim, shemuto l'softo, vafilu meis erev regel. Now, why are you not allowed to do this? The Gemara has two reasons. One is because you're going to make yourself sad before the regel. And the other reason is that apparently, again, this is so foreign in the context of Hespedim to our context. But you could imagine, like at a wedding, right? So a shtick in some circles, I don't necessarily our circles, is you want to have the fanciest ex, so people go and get certain singers, right, to sing at the wedding, right, under the chuppah. So it becomes a status symbol at a certain point. So imagine at a lefaya, you want a certain maspid. So a certain maspid came to town. So again, for us it would be ridiculous, because if the maspid doesn't know the mace, the niftar, what's the point? Nobody's going to take it seriously. You know, as a rabbi, you don't want to get up and say, I didn't know the Nispad, but I hear he was a nice guy. Next, right? It's one of the most difficult things, it would seem to be one of the most daunting things about it being a Rav, is being asked to perform a Levaya for someone you didn't know. I was once at a Levaya, my father-in-law performed. It was like Erev Yom Tov. Is in Memphis, and it was an older woman who had no relatives at all. She never came to shul. I mean, she was probably elderly, she didn't know her. So it's almost a running joke, his trying to say whatever little he could find out about her, and then having the old ladies in the audience, because basically it was just my siblings-in-law and myself and a few old ladies from the shul chime in with more information. It was like an interactive hesped, right? But that's obviously an extraordinarily difficult thing to do. That's if you're a pulpit rabbi and you do your job, many or most of your hespedim only entail having to find the good things about people, which I realize as I've gotten older you can actually find. This world becomes less black and white. It's easier to find the good even in people you don't think so highly of. But nonetheless, occasionally the most daunting thing to do is to talk about someone your mamish didn't know. Right, so sometimes you're asked to give a hesped, you know, for a congregant's parent, and you barely knew the parent, you know. So sometimes the parent just come to shul, so you had a few interactions. You could say something, you know. You could talk about how they sat in shul with their family, and you know, can build up something like that. But sometimes it can be very difficult. But someone who mamish did not know the niftar or the niftaras, that's kind of hard to imagine. But here it was sort of like it was theater almost, in the same way that the singer under the chuppah is theater. So we're afraid that some saftan's going to come. And you're going to have all the money you were saving up to buy stuff for the chai. You're going to, you know, spend it. You're going to splurge on the saftan. And the Gemara tells a story about a man who was saving up money, and I think it was his relative and his wife. Some saftan passed by, and his wife took all the cash and gave it to the saftan. So it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel whether it's only you were the only. This is only osur. Rav says it's only osur for schar if you're paying for the hesped, but if it's free hesped, it's okay. And the Shmuel says, even if it's not, because it's ma'orer bechia, and it makes him sad going into the radio. Yeah.
How much
So the point is, on the last time, even if it's the Erev of Samach is 30 days, I'm sorry. 30 days.
Within 30 days.
30 days, that's what it says. Okay.
Wait, is this for any
hesped? If someone dies within 30 days, of the ragel when you have that spadim, or as the Mechaber says in Sefes Mishabal Lo Shmu B'Sol Shoshim Yom Kod Meregel Nirin Li Shemut Al Asafto Afa Pishi Rechoka. Why? Because the whole point is that if I assume in that case you're doing it and you're not paying for it. I assume it would be you're not paying for it, or maybe it doesn't matter, I don't know, but the assumption is that the sadness is equally powerful then because it's something which is new. The point is you don't want to dig up old dirt. That's the idea. I didn't.
Are we sure that shloshim would be like observing a shloshim would be problematic? Because it seems like what they're saying is a case where you waited and you find out 45 days before Pesach.
I don't think that's true at all. I don't think it's true at all. The point is that you might have given a spade. You want to do more a spade. And the answer is you can't. Whether you did or didn't do. A sinum at a shloshim without a spade might be mutter, but to make a spade them is not. No, this should be observed. If you're going to do a shloshim, if you're going to be marking a shloshim within 30 days of the chag, there shouldn't be a spedim. That's it.
I assume that the family says, okay, we're just going to do a seum, right? We're going to get together, it's on the shloshim, right? So, okay, no one's going to do his spedim, but presumably they're going to talk about the mace. And
they could do that. That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Yes.
It's during Sphira days where we're trying to create an atmosphere without Simcha anyway. Would this change it if it's before Shavuot?
No. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say otherwise. Sif Gimel, Masha Anu Noaga Mitash La Masha Anu Lakonin Lahaskir Neshamos Nirin Li Shein Bechlal Zemot Las Shosemach La Regel. In fact, for us Kavachomer, we do Yiskar on the Regel. So making a malay is not considered, does not fall in this category. That's what the Mechaber says.
So that's okay. Something
when
we don't do tachnun anyway, right?
What's that?
But we generally don't do...
We don't do malays generally, we don't do tachnun.
This practice doesn't really seem to be that analogous to Yizkor. I mean, like, or kel malay or anything. I mean, you're calling that a kina is a stretch.
I think they're talking about the tefillah that goes with the Yizkor. Lakonin olahazkir neshamos. I think that's what it means. Yes?
So basically the implication is at this point they were not doing Yizkor the way we do it now.
It seems like that, at least in Sfara they weren't, yeah. Okay, Simen Shem Ben Ches, Sorfen Ala Malachim, Oala Nasiim, Mitasen Uklei Tashmishin Ala Hayotos is Asur, because it's Yuara and wasteful. By a king you would burn his Tashmishin because you weren't allowed to use them. How do you know that it's permissible to be sorry for Ala Malachim? It's a Pasuk. It's part of the Sugya, the discussion of Chukos Hagoyim. Chukos Hagoyim is a real Isser. Chukos Hagoyim can either be an imitation of Gentile ways, sometimes related to Avodah Zarah, sometimes not, and Chukos HaGoyim can be almost anything that has no particular reason to do it, and no logical and rational reason to do it, like Shlosso Challah. Yes, it's a... You should, by the way, not bake Shlosso Challah, and you shouldn't eat Shlosso Challah, and if you have the capacity to be mocha people doing so, it's the resurrection of a superstition. And it doesn't matter, there was a blog post recently of explaining how folk practices work, yes, but... And it's done because of insecurity, economic insecurity, we understand that, but that's what Tamim Tiyah Shem Al-Kachaj, you're not supposed to do those things. Yes, it's
so when we say a practice needs to be rational, right?
I'm now getting into this discussion now, let's move on. I gave the Psak Halacha already, so. Anyway, next. I know, you want to just drag me off, that's not happening. Ha'omer, Sif Beis, Ha'omer Al-Tik Barum and Ha'chasav, Ein Shomen Lo. So I think we've mentioned this already, but now it's worth putting head on. Who is Mechuyev to bury someone? The answer is it depends. A man is mechuyev to bury his wife because it's from the Tanoi Ksuba. The Yorshim who Yarshin the money of the deceased are chayev to bury the person only because they Yorish the money. If a man bequeaths no money to his Yorshim, so they are not mechuyev more than anybody else, then it becomes incumbent upon the Tzibur. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes a discussion. Some think that if the children are wealthy, then they're mechuyev to do so. But certainly if the children are not particularly, if they're not Ashirim, and the parent did not leave them, or the Morish did not leave them anything, they are not chayim more than anybody else, theoretically. Of course, sense tells you that, of course, midin kibud avim, of course you take care of it, but nonetheless. Matt?
Who's considered tzibur, like you move into
the community.
If you move into town, like you haven't been there 30 days.
That's a discussion in Hilchos Tzedakah in terms of assessment.
Right, when
but it's not you... It's a monetary obligation. It's the tzibur's responsibility, however the money is allocated, you know, how the money is collected. Yehuda?
What if the maid leave the Yoshim enough money to bury the left of someone?
So that money is mishubad, but the rest of it is not incumbent upon the heirs any more than anybody else. Yeah. Okay, so that's the basic line of argument. So Omer al tik barum and achasav ein shomen lo and lemotziyam yershav kol tzorchi kuraso bal karcho achen kol masher begin lasos levnei mishpachto afilo even shenostem al kever bushi yershav abamnevian. That's the crucial qualification. They had to inherit money, as the shach says. Then mam kain in kofen akrov melakol alakol muta lekover. It's everybody's responsibility. Okay, and then afilo mishen lo mamon. So he has no money. So the Gemara, I mentioned this, but I'll mention it one more time. The Gemara says that they want to know whether it's Mishum Kapara, Mishum Bizyonah. If it's Mishum Kapara, and the Mei says, I don't need Kapara, Moch on the Kapara, you would listen. It's Mishum Bizyonah Dechai, that there's a dead person left unburied and not burying it, so then Ein Shomen Lo. And we're Paskin, then it's Mishum Bizyonah, and therefore we don't listen and we bury the person anyway. I have raised this question in the past. We strongly, strongly frown upon cremation. I believe that part of the reason there's such an aversion to cremation, halachically speaking, is because it became caught up with being kofar b'tchias ha-mesim as well, which I've never quite fully understood, but whatever. And that's why someone, you know, being cremated was regarded so awfully. But the truth is, al-pidin, it's not entirely clear to me why, if the mace requested cremation, why it's usher. We don't do it. The answer is you don't do it, and you don't allow it to be done if it's in your control. I don't understand, based upon the suyu, because the Gemara raises the question, is it mishum bizyona or mishum kapara? If the mace says lo nichali be kapara, the only issue would be bizyona. But if the mace is not left lying around, if the mace is cremated, so there's no bizyona the chaye either, so why should it be usher? If the mace said, okay, yes.
What about other things that aren't, other methods of burial, like burial at sea, that aren't caught up in aren't like cremation with all these undertones, but also aren't eventually burial.
What does the burial at sea mean?
You throw them into the ocean.
That's just
closer to Israel or not?
They throw the body into the water like that.
They do it for a lot of people who aren't
Osama
bin Laden. Where's the body?
The burial at sea. So that's an interesting question. Whether the water is aras michta and whether it's called kfur bakarik, I don't know. But you could argue it's the same, partially the same question. So we don't do it, but it's not clear to me what a solid grounds for Asarin is. The Gesher Chaim, I didn't reread it, but I read it previously, you know, writes very harshly against it. It was a lot of polemic against it. But I'm not really sure on what solid grounds, if the mace requested it, on what grounds. The mace says, look, I believe in the chesed mace, God will resurrect my ashes. It's not a big deal.
That's how it's calculated by LT, where you don't damage the body at all.
Yeah, so we don't do it, and I'm telling you not to do it, but I have to say that on pure halachic grounds, I think it rests on very weak foundations. Yes, Daniel?
Are you assuming it's connected to the sugya of Mishum Bizyono and not a different union altogether?
The Gemara says that if it's not Mishum Bizyone, if it were only Mishum Kapara, and the person said, don't bury me, you can listen, you can leave the body out.
But that's not about cremating, that's about not burying.
Unless the person said, cremate me. I'm assuming that the mace requested it. If the mace requested it,
about him either saying "don't bury me" or not saying anything.
Yes, but what should be the isser in cremating the body?
Something else.
What's the isser?
I don't know.
There is no isser. That's the point. If it's nivel hamace, it's only if the mace said "I'm mochal on my nivel," so it's not nivel hamace anymore. The Gemara, by invoking Bizyone, says that even though the mace doesn't care, it's a Bizyone to the rest of the Chayim. It's hard to make that argument when the mace is not lying around there. The mace is not Muta, but Bizyone. You know, Matt?
Unfortunately, I know some people, I don't think it's a Shaykh, I'm like, soon, but they want to be cremated, and they don't want to be buried. Should I, if one has the opportunity to maybe persuade the person, is that
yes. Yes, I say that with a... torn because I'm not persuaded that it's usher, but you should do that because that's what Klal Yisrael holds. Sprung.
I'm just curious about the urgency that's needed when doing something because that's what we do. Like, what? I can say to this person, hey, I can convince this person of one thing. I can either convince them, like, don't speak Lashon Hara anymore, or...
I'll vote for the Lashon Hara one, okay? Fine. In other words, you read the way the Acharonim write about it. And again, it's hard to know how much is being... I wonder when the Geshe Chaim is writing. I don't remember the first edition was published pre World War II. I suspect post-Holocaust, it takes on even heavier undertones. Right? When he describes cremation, he talks about Misrefas HaCrematorium. And when I'm reading that, I'm trying to figure out, is he talking about just like a cremating, like in a mortuary or in a funeral home, a funeral parlor, whatever it is? Or I can't read the word crematorium without thinking about, the Shoah. So I can't.
In light of the Holocaust.
I suspect there may be a combination of that, a combination of pre-Holocaust, this denial of Tchias HaMesim, and so on. I suspect it's all wrapped up. It makes for good minhag. It doesn't make for good halacha. What can I say? I'd like to be able to explain to you why I think it's black and white. It's Osir period. I can't. I'm telling you not to do it. I'm telling you to discourage from being done. I'm telling you if you can't stop them doing it. But I can't, I feel like it's a little slightly weak. But okay, fine. Shin Mem Tes. Yisro Hanav Amesu V'Tachrichav. Beino V'Kochav and Be'Yisrael Tachrichav Asurim Bahana. And if the mace, if the Tachrichim are Asur Bahana, then obviously, what else is Asur Bahana? The mace. It's inconceivable what the mace is mutar bana and the tachrichim are asr. So this already is a big issue. The Mechaber Paskins, like the Tshuva Sarashba, that the Isra'na applies equally to a Jew and a non-Jew. There is a Tosfos based upon a Gemara. The Gemara is not on some level black and white, but maybe it's a pretty good raya. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, and Tosfos claims, no, mase akam are mutar bana. The claim has often been advanced that the Rambam and I forget who else, make no distinction between Meis Yisrael and Meis Akum. And the Rashba says Beferish applies to Meis Akum. That's the way the Mechaber Paskins. There are a lot of Achronim, including the Gra, who categorically disagree with the Shulchan Aruch and claim there is no Isra Na. If it is, it's an Isra Derabbanan. This issue was a double-edged issue. I am personally much more comfortable with the Pesach and the Mechaber because the alternative is morally and diplomatically very challenging. The notion that you're going to say, oh, Meisei Akam Amutar Bana, it's okay. Clearly, it does not express a general sense of the Chazal. Chazal said, Kovrei Meisei Akam and Meisei Yisrael. And what that means, as they point out, it doesn't mean you bury them together, because we have a notion of Kevrei Yisrael, but it means the Chachamim imposed an obligation upon us in a situation where we're part of a community and there's a need for Gentiles to be buried as well, that we give what's expected assistance in that regard. not together with next to, but we bury non-Jews like we bury Jews. It's clear that there's a any of Kfur. And certainly Kfur, there is Kfur in Eretz Yisrael and at Torah by a non-Jew as well. But that doesn't mean there's always an Isser Hana'a. Yes, Matt? A mitzvah.
So, but if it was a non-Jew, he doesn't have to bury it?
I don't remember that issue being discussed. On some level, it's hard. See, the tricky part is, I'm not sure what the din should be there, if only because if losalin applies to a guy, and you're saying that it's a tzelem alokim muta b'bizayon, is it meis mitzvah, does it make a difference? I don't. When we get to the simanim on mitzvah, we'll have to take a look and see if anybody talks about it there. The yes,
just,
yeah.
I just want the thought: is there
same type of tumah by? So that's a three-way machlokas harishonim. There is a shita, but it's a very fringe shita. The guy is not metame at all. The two well-known shitas is that a guy is metame b'magav amasa, or a guy is metame even ba'ol ki Yisrael. It's a machlokas rishum had a paskin. It matters very much to kohanim. It's a very big deal because in terms of being in a situation where you're ma'al al-meis akum, so the shita of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that's the drasha of atem kriyim adam ve'ein umos Yisrael kriyim adam. As Tosus points out, they are called ha'adam, they're just not called adam, whatever that means. So anyway, in our context, the particular relevance of knowing what's azabana is a situation where there might have been need for a body part for a fuwa, which involved no sakana. And in theory, this is a real issue. It's a complicated issue. Supposing you want an organ transplant, most organ transplants would fall into the category of sakana. You're talking about a heart or a lungs or kidneys or corneas, we'll say that sight is an issue of sakana. So most transplants are going to be sakana. But the question is, what about if you need a ligament, right, for knee surgery? It's not life-threatening. Although one might argue that lack of physical activity does shorten life, but it's not necessarily apparent enough. I'm not sure if it's apparent enough and definite in any given case enough to call that sakana. So the question is that there are multiple questions. Firstly, this or hana from a mace. Secondly, if it's coming from a mace, can a kohen have a knee, have a ligament transplant into his knee? After all, if the thing is large, it depends how large. It tends to be very small, but if it's even the size of a kezias basar and a mace is metame. So do you say that when you, what happens when you put it into the kohen? Does it experience tchias amesim? Ah, but before you put it into the kohen, when it's under the same ohel, what's the story then as well? They're very interesting questions. We're not going to discuss them here. But anyway, so that's why it matters. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes something about where the doctor said the refuah was to take a bone from a person and do the following, whatever it was. So, or from the Tachwicha mace, that sounds more like magic than a cure. Both of them sound like magic, actually, to the modern mind, but whatever. And the question is, maybe we'd better at least to take it from a meis akum, because there are many who hold that a meis akum is either mutar bana or at least only asur midrabbanan. Is that a question? Jeremy? Yeah, there's certainly no issur d'oraisa, yeah. Why does he say the Rashba? He quotes the Rashba as saying that, but that's not... He quotes, I thought that it's the Tshuva of the Rashba who says, Beis Yosef quotes, Om Baba Kama, in the Chidushim. And Tosos, yeah, who say... I don't know if he says there's an Issur Rabbanan. The Acharonim certainly assume it's an Issur Rabbanan at least. But it would be Mutter and B'makom Holy potentially. The Gra, I don't know if he says one way or the other. The Shamsham Miriam from Egla Rufa. I thought one of the riyas, which was kind of interesting, that they bring that it's mutter is the fact that Shimshon took the Mea Orlos Plishtim, right, as a dowry. I'm not sure we want to bring riyas from Shimshon, but besides, maybe he cut them off while they were still alive. Maybe that's what killed them.
What?
You dispose of it. Ramosha has a discussion, I mentioned this yesterday in one of his tshuvas, about, you know, basar menachai. The pashtus is no mitzvah kfura. In the case of an orlet so small, it's not even It's nothing. It's not. It's not even Basar Menachai. Even is larger than Kazayis. It's not Metame. Only Aver Menachai is Metame. So I assume that the Mohel disposes of it. It's medical waste, actually. Probably. It's a pretty small thing anyway. But some people, maybe they bury it. I don't know. Maybe they bury the Orla. But I'm not sure. Me din Kvura. I think it's probably a Kabbalistic thing or something. Okay. What do they do with the placenta? Some people eat it. Okay. All right. So anyway.
Is it kosher? Is it like mother's milk?
I prefer not to think about it. I think it's perish in normal human terms. It's disgusting, but if you want to argue on the grounds about the shakshu, that's one thing. But I think it's considered, I think it's pirsha by halachic definition. Anyway, a practice I highly recommend against. Anyway, so vidavka shezmina mitzarka minasanam alav abazman alavara filo sam mitzarka lachashemes l'nesur dasman alamilsa v'chein minasanam alav without the intention of it being permanent. Velo ezmina l'kach b'tchila adayin l'nesur. It's an machlokas abayin rava and Sanhedrin and elsewhere with a hasman alamilsa he repaskan hasman alav milsa. So if you already begged l'mes according to abay it's already aser bana, according to rava it's muter bana, we pass like rava to be aser bana. It has to be. Miuchad for the mace and used for the mace. If you take an object and you throw it on the mace with the intention of leaving it there, that becomes usur because that now was miuchad and it was not nitan ala mace. Yes, but if you put it on the mace as a temporary thing but you didn't intend to leave it there, then it's motabana. Or if you made it for the mace but you never put it on the mace, it's also motabana. Sprung?
Just to kind of clarify, I didn't get a chance to look at it tomorrow, but is the idea over there are kind of two paradigms of hasmana? Because like sometimes with the carbon, I'd be like, you know, this is for a carbon, and then it really is for a carbon, right?
So the point is, hazmana, the machlokas, it is a little like hektesh, whether there's hektesh or not. So Rava Paskins, there's no hazmana for this v'sirena. And that doesn't apply in the v'sirena, applies to Kedush as well, by Sifrei Torah. The Gemara ties to the question of whether or not you need Ibud Lishma, if I'm not mistaken. Ibud on the Kalaf Lishma is tied to the Hasmana question. It's in a very funny way. Maybe machlokas are shown which way, exactly how it's tied, I think, but nonetheless, it's not limited to this, but there are parallels. Question? Anybody else? No. Yossi?
Yeah, so hasmana for this purpose means that you put it onto the mace?
No, hasmana means you make this. You buy it, you make it for the intention of using it for the mace.
So if you wouldn't, and then you put it onto the mace...
But with the intent of leaving it, they're only leaving it on, then it becomes asa.
Then that becomes...
It becomes like a hasmana and the sina at the same time.
Okay.
We paskin what? Hazmana lab milsa. Noye hames it based. So this is based upon a sugya in Arachin. I'm not necessarily interested in pursuing all the shitas. The Rambam has an interesting view. The Rambam and Rashi read the maskana of the Gemara that the hair of a mace is motor pana. Why? Because the Gemara starts out by talking about a mace and the hair of a mace in the peyanachris. And then the Gemara at the end points out what's the difference between Isha and a Behema. Seir Isha is Muteres and a Behema is Asura. And the Gemara says because the Behema is Neseres Mechayim with the Psakdin and Isha is Neseres only when you kill her. Therefore, everybody agrees if a woman goes for a haircut between the time she was sentenced to death and the time she was executed, the hair is Mutabana. But the question is, what's the din after Misa? So the Gemara, in trying to explain the difference between Isha and Behema, says Behema Bechaya Asura, Isha... is Misasa Osrata. So the Rambam and Rashi both understood that therefore the hair of a mace is mutter because a Misa is not shaykh by a hair. When you kill a person, you don't kill their hair. Their hair is dead already. Their skin, you kill. So, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass. The Shulchan Aruch paskins for sure that the hair that's actually part of the body is Asur B'hana. And not only that, but Noyi HaMesa Mechubar Begufo Kigon Pe'an Achris. The man was marrying a wig. The chayotze bo asurin kemao mace atzma, are just like the mace. Bamentim amur bistama, volntziva sheyitnu noi gufa mechubarim bo levno levito letzorach davar acher mutarim. Aval saroma meshafilu mtziva malav asur bahana. The hair, that which is mamish part of the body, would be asur bahana. Now, what the Mechaber doesn't mention, but a similar category to hair would be removable tooth. Right. I don't know if a tooth were not removable. I'm not sure an artificial tooth ever works cemented into what the din is. Maybe even there you could. It's not the same thing as peyanachris, which might be tied on the head or blended with the hair, but it's not really you know, it's not permanent. So when the Mechaber says that those things would be mutter only if the mace commanded they wanted to do so. The Ramah adds in the parentheses, v'dafka k'shem k'shurim b'sara skufan, aval ein k'shurim mutter, it's only if it's tied, abot, aval l'chein mutter lito tabos shevedayim shemeshi v'chersev. The jewelry, the rings, you're allowed to take, the Ramah says. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes from one of the Achronim, he doesn't understand the Ramah. Because the Ramah is really going to draw an analogy between Pan Achris and the ring. Well, if the ring is really hard to get off, let's say the person, you know, the ring is really tight, then you maybe should say it's the same thing as Seir, that should be like Kosher. So he says, no, there's no Shaila about jewelry. The only time there's a Shaila about something attached to the mace, which is not actually part of the body, having a din of the mace, is something that's sort of a substitute for something that normally would be with the mace. The Pan Achris is a supplement to the hair. The tooth is in lieu of a tooth. Jewelry is not in lieu of anything. Therefore, there's no Shaila that the jewelry of the mace, like the clothing of base that nobody argues on, the clothing they're wearing and they're dying, on with their bahana. Matt?
This might be
ignorant.
I thought it was something about shoes, like made shoes you're not allowed to take off
their use. Such things exist, they thought it was dangerous or something like that.
But that's not, we're not going to cover that, it's not a sin on the shoulder.
I don't think so. I don't remember if it's quoted elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch. As you can imagine, it's not my cup of tea.
Somebody dies, you can take the shoes.
I have very nice shoes.
You make it sound like the guy dies and the vultures swoop in and one guy grabs his shoes because they're easy to take off. What's that?
But yes. You're saying yes.
The only shy that would be the shoes they were wearing at the time they died. Right? You understand that?
Okay, right. So you could go.
It's mutter. I believe it's mutter. Yeah. Alex?
So, lacking specific permission, a shetel and a removable tooth can be taken?
A shetel that they were wearing when they died. Right. And it might have to... It sounds from the Ramah, like only if it's like tied on, pinned on...
Most shetels today aren't.
They're clipped
at most. Right, so I don't know how you determine what a clip is versus a pin and so on. But let's say it were not pinned or clipped, but it were just sitting there. That would probably be mutter, but outside of that, if it would clip the pin, you would need permission from the mace.
So we would say the shaitel's not generally fastened enough to be a shaitel?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it might be. In other words, the way it's typically worn. Yeah. It happens to be, in most common circumstances, it's not, a woman is only likely to die with a shaitel on in the case of sudden death.
And
if they're in the hospital...
Wants that shaitel.
What?
To be clear, no one wants that shaitel.
It might be true bechalal. I don't know that I'd want to wear somebody's shoes they were wearing they're dying, or their clothing for that matter. I don't think I want to wear $5,000 pair of shoes, period. Sprung, what do you want?
I just want to clarify, so shaitels now, at the very least, are easy to take out, but this sounds like something that's really connected or tied on very tightly. Is this not
I don't know how tight is tight. I don't know.
But it sounds like this would kind of be like a tzitzit, no?
A clip in the hair would be a chatzitza, probably. I don't know. Anyway,
maybe?
Yes.
I would say I assume earrings are not even a shiloh.
Same as a ring.
But like, are there piercings that are more permanent that like aren't really meant to be taken out once inserted?
I have no clue. Yes. I don't have any pierced. Trust me, I don't have any pierced body parts.
There was such a
In fact, no one in my who lives in my house has any part of their body pierced. So
would such a piercing be considered like a tooth or like
probably not. I mean, but I don't know. I don't assume piercings are permanent.
Okay.
Sprung.
When we talk about taking out something mechubar l'guf, so presumably it's very common for someone to pass away when they have like needles in them.
No, that's when they're chained to something or attached to something. That's the mechanism of attachment. No, that's not the same thing. That's more like wearing a baguette. That it's not. These are things that no one thinks the needle becomes part of their body.
Also, needles aren't in your bag. You could always easily pull them out and just taped on.
Okay. Anyway. Isha shiotze leharig nanim b'sara afal pishenig medina in sara sara nesarim at shetiskatel. Shetiktal. Okay. Im hayu imo v'ava v'imo mezarken alav kele mitzvah lacherim latzilin malanaga b'mitanik beres imo. If in their sorrow they are throwing things at the bed, you know, the child's possessions, as a sign of grief. So if you're, it's a mitzvah to grab them before they get to the bed. If they get to the bed, they may be also, even though there wasn't hazmana, because they might be mixed up. There's a gzera, atu tachrecha hames. If you're mitzila, and the Rama says, chayev b'shmirasan, if once you say them, you now have a shomer on them, you have to watch them. Pe'mechziren la'ava le'ima, v'chasu v'zrak v'nesru, chayev ha'machzeh l'shalim. It's kind of a funny case. You give it back to the parents here. Don't throw this on the child. And then they throw on the child's bed. So now you gave it to them. Kind of interesting metaphor, right? But because the parents are not in sound mind and they're going to do something, they're of enough sound mind. It is bizarre halachically. They're enough sound mind to aser the thing. Although really it's not aser anyway. I'll repeat them. Maybe that's the answer. Because it looks like tachri chameis or tzorach chameis. But because you handed it back to them, they're not responsible enough to be chayav on nezikin their own stuff. So apparently if you have a shoteh who destroys everything you give to him, and you have his object, and then you give it to him, his own, what already belongs to him, then you could be chayav when he's mazik it, which is a little bizarre, but okay. We don't do this anymore. Avalim nagubba, if once they touch the bed, asurim, imhein shal osam shazarak ala, they have to belong to the zorek. Vehusha Yizra came Aldashi Brainimo. It also has to be with the assumption they wanted to be buried with it. And that's why the Rama says that the other Kalim which were used for handling the mace are not Asr. The bed on which they carried the mace is not Asr because there was no intent to bury it with the mace. So Adash Tira Lov Halakalim Shamulik na Mesa Lan Pur Lonesu Darilo Nisanam Sham Amanaslik Bar Imo. And finally, kalamar be kelim al hamesa reza over mishum al tashchas. Simen shenun. Imratzu matir. Again, we don't do this today. Imratzu matir saros the kados the megalim panei chasana menosim diyo v'komas petzido. The first part only makes sense if the mace was open for a viewing, and otherwise, what difference would it make? I think. Yeah. What?
You gave us an harach shulchan about the skin.
Yes.
Was that relevant to...
That was relevant to the previous simon, but I think I mentioned at the beginning of Shir. I think we were talking about then, which is that there's a question of, according to the Rambam, what would the din of Seir be? What would the din of Or be, if Seir is Mutar? Now, Or is alive, but the Gemara Chulin says, the Chachamim would go Zir Tumah on Or HaAdam She'ibda, once you tan it, so it's no longer Basar, is it mitame or not? The Chachamim made it be mitame. You know why? Because they were afraid that a person would make his father and mother into shtichim, mats. No, throws. Yes, it sounds very strange, Kasten. Somebody in the Roman period, either in Babylon or Israel, must have been doing this. I don't think Chazal's imagination was that fertile. I mean, I'm sure they had great imagination. I don't mean to take it all away from Chazal, but I just can't imagine. So the question is, what do you mean? It's Aser Bana. Why do you think it goes to Tumana? So some say that for whatever reason it's not clear, or Hames is Mutar Bana. Others say, no, it was Aser Bana Min HaTorah, but you know, people are not always so frum. But if you make a Tumah, Tumah Batara, they were crazy in that era about Tumah Batara. And therefore, the Isser, the Reis of Hanam HaMes, wouldn't have been enough to stop them. But if you tell them that it's Tumah, oh, that's the way it goes. Okay. Simen Shinnun. If he was a scribe, and now he can no longer be a scribe because he's dead, you can take his scribal tools and put them next to him. It's a way of being married by Agmas Nefesh, which in some ways that's what Misa does represent. It represents the loss of potential. So, v'tolin maftecho shomeis, if he was the guy who walked around with all the keys, so you can hang his key in the urn. Upinakso, or Pinkaso ba'aronov, he was a scribe. You can hide it, but his writing tablet, Aron Mishum Agmas Nefesh. Ve'osim chupos lachasana v'chalos, ve'tolama dvarm shulei v'yu ochal nefesh, aval dvarm shulei v'yu ochal nefesh, osim neshin nesarim ba'no, and you be ma'abed ochal. So these are various things they used to do to heighten the sorrow of the occasion. And we don't do this anymore.
Would we ever bury, someone safer with that?
Now, we bury it with Tamid Chacham and we bury Shemas. If we have to bury a Sefer Torah, we might bury it with the Talmud Chacham once we're burying the Talmud Chacham. But we don't, the Bach says we don't do these practices anymore. I'm an Akev, someone who wants to. There's not our minhag. In fact, I would say, I've never seen a burial of the Sefer Torah with the mace. I have never been in a Levaya, but I think they do under some circumstances. I've never been in a Levaya where they do anything but bury the mace in the coffin. You know, the mace is buried in a tachrichen, and if it's a man, he probably has his talus, and that's it. What? And I saw that I don't use the coffin, but use a sheet instead. Matt? By the way, if you want an example of something in Eretz Yisrael that would be, should be mutar bana, it's the coffin. In Chutz Laaretz, it's aser bana. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they don't intend to bury in the coffin. It's just a way of transporting this. In their Chutz Laaretz, they intend to bury it, so the coffin is, it's A, muzman, and B, it's used. Once you put the mace in it, it's aser bana. Weinreich?
Why did they, assuming you're not going to use the talus as the tachrichin, why would you bury the person with the talus once you bury the talus?
Why would you bury the talus? That's the minhag. To bury them with the mitzvah of tzitzis. All what we'd like to do is a person is a talus that they wore in their lifetime.
Right. I think I thought that there was a talus who was the tachrichin.
No, no. Talus is not going to cover them over fully. Okay. Yossi?
I'm just confused. What's going on here?
I don't know. It has to do with, it's almost like, you know, what the mortician did. You know, how you arrange the collar's hair.
Meaning what, they would arrange the hair on the base?
Yes. You understand that once upon a time, it's clear, you see many halachas like this, they had a wake. A wake was not a goyish azach that they came up with. They took it from us. I wouldn't suggest trying that today.
The wake is when the body is...
The manichan samita, you know, the said, and Shimon Gimel, if you look down on my page, you look down on the page, parishon ha'yim agalim p'nei ashirim v'chasim p'nei aniyim v'neshim ashirim v'shnas batzoras v'hayu aniyim chayim v'vayshim v'skinu shim v'chasim p'nei akol. They used to leave the faces of the ashirim uncovered. You see the dead guy smiling at him. You could smile back, especially if you're happy he was dead. He was your enemy. Very nice. But the point is, they used to do that. We don't do that anymore. So they could arrange the kala's hair maybe in a way that she would never have gone for a public viewing, but here you could do it because it's Marbidi Agmas Nefesh. You see this beautiful young woman dead in front of you. Matt?
So, I know that,
we don't do this anymore.
Right.
Any of these things.
I know by pharaohs, they used to like...
Embalm them.
Right, but they would also entomb them in the pyramids or whatever with all their stuff.
That's right, because they needed it in the afterlife. No, I think here was the assumption was Mnei Agmas Nefesh. And I would just say the following, and the shorthand is of the mourners, of the people seeing it. Right? It's a reminder. If you, let's say this person were a sofer who wrote beautiful stuff. Just as an example. You know, he wrote beautiful sefer Torah. He died young, right? You put his writing tablet or his quill and his ink in there, and the pain that it sort of, orer it even more so, it has a greater impact upon the mourners. Not that much, you know. What went to waste was the talent. Now a little bit of ink in the inkwell in the quill. All right. Tzitzis. Tachriche hameis muta lasosan mikilayim. Why? The Gemara says hameisim chafshi. But there's another kasha here. Some ask the question, why isn't it loig larush still? So the answer is, because if you were like a mace, you also wouldn't be prohibited to wear kilayim. Meaning kilayim is an isser of chimum. Hanoas Lavisha. The mace doesn't have to stay warm. In a context in which the clothing add no warmth to you, there may not be an Isser of Kalayim. It's not Muhammad in some level.
Person never got cold, then they would be able to wear.
Put that in the Klotz Kashabin, okay?
What if
they
never got warm?
Anyway, so Tachri Chameis Mutala Sosa Mikilayim. And ain't in Bays. Ain't Kobrana Sameis Elabitala Sheish Botzitis. This is a big machlokas. Rabbeinu Gershom, when he died, before he died, he said, tzitzis chutz. So they weren't sure what did he mean. Some thought it meant that they should passel the tzitzis. Some thought it meant they should leave one of the tzitzis hanging out of the yard. So the Ramban says, vada, you have to be kover bitalash mitzuyetzes, and it's a kosher tzitzis. And others say, no, we dafka makbet the passel the tzitzis. There's a third sheet that says, not so much of a pasul in tzitzis, but you only bury someone in tzitzis if they wore tzitzis during their lifetime. Now to us that would seem to be very strange, because Baruch Hashem, most, well at least from Jews, wear tzitzis during their lifetime, even at least at some point. I know the yeshiva, sometimes kids in yeshiva day school don't like wearing tzitzis for various reasons. sometimes it's an act of rebellion, although I understand from personal experience, not personal, my children's experience, sometimes just because it's itchy, not because they have anything against the mitzvah. But in the medieval period, it was much rarer for Jews to be wearing tzitzis, and so this was a much bigger issue. Some say it makes no sense to do in his death what he never did in his lifetime. We bury all mason, we bury all males in a baggage in a talis. I mean, what? So we apostle the tzitzis. That's the general practice. The Aruch HaShulchan tells two stories. Wait, everybody stop. It's story time. About two Gedolim who decided they were going to follow the Ramban. And the first one, he had given the tzivi to one of his Talmidim, and then he had horrible stomach pains, and someone had to step in terms of carrying, or taking care of stuff, and he apostle the tzitzis. And then that was the Gra. And the other one, I don't know who, the Aruch HaShulchan names him, I don't recognize who it was. I just don't know who the name is. I don't know who it is. He names him where he commanded apostle tzitzis, and somehow the talus got stuck in the thorns and apostle tzitzis. So it's a sign min hashamayim. Right? There's another story I believe the Aruch HaShulchan tells of similar vintage, I guess, of doing birchas kohanim in chutz laretz. And two different people tried to institute him. One of them got thrown in jail. At the time, there was a fire in the shul. One of them was the Gra.
Yeah.
And the other one, I think, might have been, was it the Lubavitcher Rebbe? I'm not sure. The original Lubavitcher Rebbe? The Baal HaTanya? I'm not sure.
Sfardim do,
but Ashkenazim did. The Sfardim, of course, are right. If there were one practice I would change in shul, if I were a shul rabbi, I really could muster the chayal to change one practice, the Baal Batim would revolt anyway, because it would take more time at the morning minyan, and it would get them out about 60 seconds later. But if the one practice I would change, I would duchen. You will not do that if you become rabbi of the shul. But really, it's almost indefensible that we don't duchen every day. The Rama says, because we're not shruyim b'simcha. And since when is simcha a requirement for birchas kohanim? That's why we only duchen, by the way, in Yom Tov, in Chutz Laretz. You know, Ashkenazim only duchen on Yom Tov because that's the only time there's simcha. Unless some people have gotten confused. Like my father-in-law told me when he came to Memphis, it's a good lesson for people going into the pulpit at some point. So apparently there's a minhag b'tov, some had, and apparently it was there in the shul, is they didn't duchen on Yom Tov when it was Shabbos. And you know, we don't ayayay because you don't do tchinas on Shabbos. So you don't do the bitul hachalom, whatever else, when it's Shabbos. But you duchen on Yom Tov, even if it happens to be Shabbos. But you can see how Nishtar Beit Minhag, they didn't duchen. So my father-in-law gave Kamsin, he's new in the shul, he gives this whole shir, you know, on it, why you're supposed to duchen. And then came Yom Tov, and, you know, and they couldn't actually believe that. He expected them to go and duchen. So, something like that. They didn't really believe it. You'd actually go and do that. But, okay. So, anyway, but that's what they say. So the practices we pass all the tzitzis. Ashkenazim at least do. I don't know what Sfarim do, but Ashkenazim do. Matt? You're right. You're just proving that claim of my friend who said that, you know, if Jews had Christmas trees, they'd be asking kashas how tall it has to be, how many lights you have to have on it, you know, how long in advance of Christmas you're allowed to put up the Christmas tree.
Have you ever seen the close Christmas that they've got online? They've got a whole sim in the shop around.
Okay, there you go. I don't know which corner. Presumably the one on the right. Those kopino shat aponel yudeh of Yemen. Gail. A woman what? You'll ask a Shaila in that occasion. Perla, can't they even die right?
So we mentioned before that you're not supposed to look at Pnei Amis. Sorry, that they would actually uncover the Pnei.
They originally was uncovered, but then they decided to cover the Hashim because they couldn't uncover the Aniyim. So they stopped doing... You know, but the body was rested, would have been in the Rehov, sitting on a bed. Okay, but it was covered with a sheet.
Okay, so previously they had it uncovered to the Rehov base, have you said?
Yep.
So doesn't the Mark say that you look at the base of Mace, you lose your wisdom or something?
Mistakel, but Pnei HaMace. I don't know. Maybe Mistakel has maybe more than the connotation of than just seeing.
We saw this already, Mistakel was first.
Right, so I don't know if it's true now. It's a different context. I don't know if they're making that eon of Mistakless, unless it means you look at the mace with beady eyes. I don't know.
So if you go home to where they actually uncover the, when they open the coffin, you walk by,
an open, what do you call it, open wake?
Yeah.
Open casket?
Yeah. So is that also...
It's against the minhag of not being mechasa to their mace, but they do this in Jewish funeral homes? That's such a goyish thing. I know I said earlier that you think it's a goyish thing. It is now. We don't do that. You shouldn't do that. It's not usher to look. They should be mechasa p'nei ames. It's the only time you megalit is when you have to identify the mace. Yes.
What's the reason why we would probably pass a letitzis beforehand?
Well, why should you pass a letitzis? The question is, well, you would passel it because you're symbolizing the mesim or chafshim in a mitzvah. You wouldn't passel it because ben tchias a mesim comes and he's omei bitz. He won't have a whole only the three cornered baguette.
And so korach and echad in a knafos is
crazy. I mean, it's a way of passeling it.
Oh, wait, do they passel the baguette or just the sisters?
Doesn't matter.
So if he does tchias mesim, I'll have a four cornered baguette without sisters.
That would be the problem, yes.
So you should definitely do it.
All right, Simon Shin Nun Beis. Shin Nun Beis. In Kovan Ames B'Tachrichim Yekorim Afilu Nashi Shib Yisrael. It is the one thing that it is not shver to Zainiyid in this day and age, is that it's much more expensive to die if you're a guy than if you're a Jew. Because if you're a Jew, there's not much that they can sell you. The best that they can sell you is if you want a better piece of real estate. Oh, you want to be next to this rabbi? It'll cost you a little bit. But outside, if you think, by the way, this is not new. You read the tshuvos, a lot of power. So you wanted to, you know, there's a going price depending on where the location of your real estate is. That's just the way it is. You know, you buy a basement apartment.